And it was totally fascinating to me. Yeah, I learned all that stuff in seminary, but I thought the guy that did that series, I thought he did an excellent job of just walking through thousands of years of back and forth and all this stuff. And he just reminded me 6 weeks, I left out of there all 6 weeks going, man, what a mighty God we serve. God watches over his word. God takes care of his word. And the other thing that when I was thinking about spiritual understanding, I thought back to when we did Experiencing God. And I thought to all those times when you closed out those lessons, the first thing you wrote down was what was God saying to you today? And then you wrote down your prayer, but then you wrote down what you would do. And I think the reason that so many people enjoy that study so much is it's not this pie in the sky, you know, Jesus is Lord. But it's all right. Jesus is Lord, but now what? And it calls for a response. And it's astounding that when we respond, it is astounding to me how much you get out of it, how life-changing it is because you actually do something with it. When I was thinking about spiritual understanding, I could not help but think of tragedy. I hate to say this, but as a result of a tragedy in my life, I can tell you unequivocally, without a doubt, I know God better today than I did 2.5 years ago. And that's what happened. When we experience tragedy, you're left with nothing. What am I going to do now? All these years I've stood up there and talked to all this stuff in the Bible. Do I really believe that now? Do all those words still apply now? And then you get the opportunity to really show what you believe. Listen, it's easy to say Jesus is Lord when everything's going your way. When you don't have anything, then can you still say it? And what you realize is that even through tragedy, you learn what the word knowledge that he's talking about here is. As just some simple points of application, the first one is, pray for a desire to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge. Ask God to give you that. Ask God to give you that deeper understanding, that revelation, the deep things of God, and then know how to experience them in your life. But I would encourage you, before you say that prayer, to remember God knows all things. And if you're not going to do it, he's not going to answer it. So the first decision we have to make is, do I want the responsibility of knowing those things? Because if you don't want the responsibility of knowing, there's no need to even pray the prayer. The next one is read your Bible, looking for things you need to change to be more Christ-like. You know what is absolutely astounding to me? It's when we stumble upon a truth that we know we have to apply. Like we know when we read it, Lord, you're speaking directly to me. God, it is a whoom right there. And I know that y'all know that I know, but it's easy to turn the page and find something else. It's real easy to turn the page and find something else and go, now that's what I'm talking about. But what we have to acknowledge is I can turn the page, but I think God's still back there going, hey, what about that verse right there? What about that verse? And I just want to say to anybody in here who's not a Christian, you really need to count the cost before you get saved. If some preacher, somebody tells you, just come down here, say this prayer, let me hold you under this water, and your name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can just proceed with your life as is, that's just not true. It is not true. Listen, when we get saved, we accept the responsibility of living for Jesus. We publicly confess with our baptism that we want to both be conformed to his image and transformed to his likeness. And so that means that every day that word's just whittling on us, knocking it off, just knocking it off, knocking it off. And man, the longer we go, the more we become like the Lord as we just are conformed and transformed to his word. And I shared the gospel with a young fellow one day, and we got to the part about change, and he told me he didn't want to change. And I said, boy, sure is hot outside, isn't it? You know why? If you have a God, if you believe in a God who can save you but can't change you, your God is not all-powerful. Amen. Your God is not almighty. Amen. If you have a God that winks at your sin, you got the wrong God. Amen. You got the wrong God. All right, well, let's look at verse 21. This is my favorite part of the whole chapter. It's through spiritual headship. So notice how he starts out with every blessing in heavenly places in verse 3, and now we get to the end of the chapter, and now we're talking about Jesus. And he says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Do you know what that means? It means, can you put it up, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, please? It means that there is coming a day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want you to think about this with me. I have to admit, I can only see this picture in my mind. Adam was the first man. I don't know who's going to be the last. But at some point in eternity, every person that has ever lived is going to gather around Jesus Christ. And at some point, every one of us are going to bow our knee to the Lord. And we are going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million people. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to bow his knee. Do you know how many people have thought they spit in the face of God? Do you know how many people have thought nobody's going to tell me what to do? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like that. I mean, just like that. Can you imagine that day when all your descendants that were long since dead before you ever knew any of them, and then all our descendants that will come after us. Maybe we're going to be gathered up in family groups. Maybe we're going to be gathered up as a church. But can you imagine that day when the only person standing is Jesus Christ? Woo! Woo! Man, it's going to happen. Then in verse 22, he says, and he put all things under his feet. And then the Bible, that means to put in subjection. So everything is going to be under Christ. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, right? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Right? Now, there's two things I want you to get here. The first thing is, at some point, everything is going to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. When we become a part of the church, we have the opportunity to be a part of the order, the structure which God has made. Now, we started this last week talking about the work of God. That's what I entitled Ephesians chapter 1 was. And the things that we talked about was first that the Lord God desires to bless people. He desires to bless them spiritually, personally, and in Christ. And we looked last week, and the three ways that we're blessed personally is that God chooses us in Christ to be holy and without blame. All right, so that was the first blessing. The second one is he predestined us for adoption in Christ. And that particular reference to predestination is not talking about who will be saved, but how people will be saved. The emphasis there is not on us, it's on Christ. The third thing is that we are accepted by God in Christ. Now, I want you to just think about those three personal blessings. The first one is that God is going to take us out of this mess. He is going to make us holy and going to make us without blame. Now, I want you to fast forward in your mind back to that 100-year time frame. when every one of us stands before the Lord and gives an account for every deed done in our body, whether good or bad, who here besides me is super excited we're not going to have to endure blame? Whew. Whew. I am. Y'all may be more spiritual than I am, but I am. The next thing is that he has chosen that we will be adopted through Christ, but then we're going to be accepted by God. I offer this to you as a question, but I sometimes am a little bit afraid that we take the work of Jesus just a little too lightly. That we're just a little too nonchalant when we say, well, you know, Jesus did die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sin. That's true. But listen, it's also the greatest truth. It's also the truth that demands a response. It's also where we, and through that truth, we have to acknowledge that, man, we are accepted by God through Jesus. Woo! And then we talked about how he blesses us in Christ. The first one was we have redemption through Christ's life or through Christ's blood. We're united through Christ. We have an inheritance through Christ. We're sealed through Christ. And today we saw the spiritual understanding that we want to have. But we also saw that God wants to bless us through spiritual headship. Now, I talked about having your eyes open, right? Having your spiritual eyes open. This chapter, this entire chapter, in my humble opinion, could be summed up in what is the work of God. It starts with God wants to bless us, and it ends with God wants us to be a part of the church. He wants Christ to be the head over us while we're on earth. And what is astounding is, my question to you is, what is the number one responsibility of the church? The number one responsibility of the church is to make disciples. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing all men in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Now, what's astounding to me about this is, if I want to join God in his work, I've got to be a disciple maker. I've got to be a disciple maker. I've got to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. And when we do that, we bring honor and we bring glory to God. But here's the thing. If we don't, we can't. So I want to ask all of us an honest question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but the honest question is this. Do you want to join God in his word? And then the next question is, who are you discipling? And if you're like, Right? And so then what we have to ask ourselves is, have our spiritual eyes been opened that we can see what God wants us to do? Can we pull the curtains back and go, oh, that's what God wants me to do? Because now we're back to the part about in knowledge. Because now that we know, the question is, what are we going to do next? Are we going to buy the lie? Oh, you don't have to do that to be saved.